This is Ian, and this isn't Lewis, as today we don't have Lewis with us. Yes, he's off on his halls. Instead, we're having doing something a little bit different today. We're actually having an extra podcast, and we're going to be talking about a film that's right now in the cinema. Yep, we're not looking back at a film from 1934 or something like that. We're actually talking about a film right here in 2013. And to that end, I'm going to bring in my flatmate, Paul. Hello, Paul.
Hello, listeners. long-time listener, first-time caller.
Yes, indeed. And in fact, we've mentioned you several times, haven't we, Paul, on the podcast?
Yeah, I think my last mention was the cinema podcast, where I watched this film we're going to be talking about in 2D.
Of course, yeah.
It's all tying together.
It is. In fact, we talk about you, I think, pretty much every podcast. I've seen to mention you at least once. So it's fitting that you're finally here and our first guest.
It's the only reason I listen to
it. Yeah, exactly. The film we're going to be talking about today is Star Trek II Into Darkness. Now, I'm going to warn you right from the beginning, we are going to be very spoiler heavy in this podcast. So if you haven't seen the film, please, I would not listen to this podcast before you've seen the film. We will be going into quite a lot of detail about spoilers.
I mean, you probably shouldn't listen to the podcast anyway.
Thanks, Paul. and the worst thing is, Paul is one of our biggest fans. So, first of all, let's just establish your credentials here, Paul. You are a... It's all right if I call you a Star Trek fan.
That is correct. You may use those words to do.
Do you prefer Trekker or Trekkie?
Myself, I prefer Trekker. And I don't think I'm at that sort of level for a Trekkie.
No. I think you're right. I always like to think.
And I've only got a Star Trek dressing gown. That's
that's true.
To be fair, you bought me.
Yeah. To be fair, most of your Star Trek merchandise is actually been bought by me. So
it's Christmas on my birthday. What's Ian going to get me?
Something Star Trekky. Favourite captain?
Picard.
Good answer. I would go with that myself as well. Favourite Star Trek film?
Wrath of Khan.
And overall favourite Star Trek series?
Next Generation.
Okay.
So we get closely by Deep Space Nine.
All right. Where does the original series or TOS come into that ordering?
That would probably come after Next Generation, Deep Space Nine.
Yeah. Well, yeah, really.
So I grew up with the Next Generation and then Deep Space Nine, so.
Yeah, I wouldn't describe myself as a Star Trek fan per se. I don't mind the show, I quite enjoy it. I know a frightening amount about it when I think about it. I know a lot of the names of the alien races and things like that.
You've watched a lot of
It's
the Next Generation.
Yeah, exactly. I certainly as a kid I watched loads of Next Generation. Big fan of reading the AV Club reviews of the Star Trek episodes. They've been very interesting.
They're on Deep Space Nine.
On Deep Space Nine, but there are many episodes of all the series that I've never actually seen.
There's a lot of episodes. To be fair.
There are a lot of episodes. When it came to the new Star Trek, the reboot, of course, in some Trekkie circles, slightly controversial, what were your opinions? Did you enjoy it? Were you a fan of the new reboot?
Yeah, I mean, I saw it at the Empire in Leicester Square on like the giant screen they have there, and it's just everything as a Star Trek fan you wanted to imagine watching a Star Trek film would be.
Yeah,
especially sort of the Next Generation films. The budgets weren't that big.
No,
it felt like more of an extended TV movie, whereas with the reboot they had the budget.
To
really show what you'd always imagine Star Trek could be.
Yeah, very true. Because that, funny you should say that, because I remember watching, I think I watched First Contact a year or two ago, and one of the things that struck me about it was there was a bit where, rather than show the big battle between Federation ships and the Borg, it just has Worf looking down at the screen, just saying, 1,000 ships just have been destroyed, sir. And things like that. I thought, it was only noticeable the second time I watched it, or third time I watched it, but... Yeah, it was interesting that they felt they couldn't show that.
The same year they had Independence Day came out, and you always get these big sci-fi blockbusters.
Yeah.
And when you compared the Star Trek movies to them, they never sort of felt as on the same level.
No, I suppose not. I never really thought about that. Already, Paul, you're bringing something to this discussion. Yeah,
the reboot was the first time that it had been presented as a major sort of summer blockbuster.
Yeah.
In the last film, Nemesis was an absolute bomb and
yeah.
made no money whatsoever. The last TV series, Enterprise, had pretty much flopped as well.
Yeah. When did that finish?
Mid-2000s?
Yeah, 2004. Like, yeah, so quite a while ago.
Yeah, I mean, it was a very dormant franchise. They needed to do something a bit more radical to
Bring
it into the public awareness.
And, yeah, that first Star Trek film, the first rebooted Star Trek film, the first Abrahams Star Trek film, let's say
Abrams.
That. Abrams, right. The first Abrams Star Trek film. Third time lucky, was brilliant. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. That opening sequence with Kirk's father being killed. Absolutely fantastic.
Very, very moving.
Yeah, very moving. Just a really good action science fiction film. Very enjoyable, great kind of energy to it. And
funny as well.
Yeah, and the good cast.
Yeah, everyone fitted into the roles.
Definitely, yeah, and they kind of recreated that Spock, Kirk, Bones dynamic so well. Yeah, and yeah, I really enjoyed it. With this one, the Star Trek II Into Darkness, I was really looking forward to it, and it'd be wrong to say I didn't enjoy it. I did enjoy it. You really liked it, didn't you, Paul?
Yeah, again, I went into it with sort of a high expectations, as you said. Yeah. Coming off the back of the last one, which was very good, and yeah, I mean, afterwards, thinking about some of the things, there are a few plot holes, but
yeah,
it sort of zipped along at such a pace that whilst watching the film, I didn't really notice them. But
yeah, which is, to be fair, the main point, isn't it? I mean,
yeah,
it's funny because we were talking about maybe Star Trek II Into Darkness would be our Prometheus. When I say that, me and Lewis basically talked about Prometheus for about 8 months last year.
It had one of the same writers.
It did, didn't it? That's right. But I mean, my real problem with Prometheus was that it presented itself as serious, thoughtful science fiction in the vein of kind of early 70s science fiction. The problem was, if you thought about the plot, the whole plot collapsed. I have no problem whatsoever with, bombastic, over-the-top, fun science fiction with plot holes, as long as you don't notice them during the film. That wasn't so much my issue with Star Trek II. I like the fact that we had a bit of ethical debate, which I felt is very... As much as I enjoyed the first Star Trek film...
Yeah, it didn't really have the...
No, it didn't feel like Star Trek.
So yeah, because the original series, especially, was always a mirror to the present day.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, sometimes you can't do that in a...
No, you can't...
In a film as much as you can film. A TV series.
No, definitely not. There isn't... You don't have quite as much room to breathe, I guess, in a film.
And I don't think a lot of the original movies did that particularly?
No, not massively. I guess I suppose the difference was is, of course, you had the actual series to sort of go round those.
Yeah, you had the history.
Yeah, you didn't notice it as much. But, I mean, that aside, yeah, they did make an effort to have, a debate about, I suppose, a reflection on the war and terror and use of drones.
One man's freedom fighter, another man's terrorist.
Exactly, yeah. And that, so that, I like that. I like the fact they were making an effort to do their best to bring in some kind of ethical dimension to essentially a big budget, science fiction flick. And again, great cast.
I thought they built on the Kirk and Spock relationship, the sort of the bickering and the friendship. That was good.
Yeah.
I thought Bones was a bit more sidelined in that sort of triangular relationship.
Yeah, he didn't have quite as much to do this time.
He had some good lines on his own, but the core of the original series is built on sort of those three together.
Yeah, the triumphant of those three, yeah.
Whereas it's more of a twosome.
Yeah, definitely. I think they kind of whether they just felt they wanted to give Simon Pegg a bit more to do, but they beefed up Scotty's role quite a bit in this.
He was running around a lot.
He was certainly almost like the third character in terms of crew terms, wasn't he? I would say he had more to do with than Bones, than McCoy. Well,
although I wish I'd seen more of his little friend.
Oh, the little or Pebbles or whatever.
There was one scene where Kirk and Scotty are discussing these missiles they have.
Oh, right, so yeah.
And he's just riding one in the background out of focus, which made me chuckle quite a bit.
It's a show. Someone's really got to take the old original series and digitally place Pebbles, whatever his name is, in the background. Although he's not called Pebbles, but I just
Bam
think
Bam.
Bam Bam. Just running around, just helping out Scotty. So that I felt all worked, and again, just the same with the first film. Very exciting, great set pieces. Went at an amazing pace. My problem with the film, and when I came out of it, a city I just found a bit meh, was two things really. Firstly, this is where we really are going to massively spoil things. So again, final warning, everyone. Benedict Cumberbatch's character is Khan. And I was impressed they managed to keep that pretty quiet.
Yeah, if you read sort of geeky internet websites,
yeah,
the rumours came out a long time
ago. Yeah, I think there was always that talk, but there was not the confirmation. Yeah, so he did quite well to hide
until a few days after the film came out and they listed him as Khan on his database.
Yeah. Oh well.
They did well in the modern age to
keep
it as secret as they did.
No, definitely. And, nothing against Benedict Cumberbatch's performance, because I think he was actually fantastic as a villain.
He brought a
real kind of snidiness to his line delivery.
British snidiness.
Yeah, exactly. But what I found bizarre about this film, that it relied a lot on knowledge of Star Trek II: Wrath of Khan.
It did, yeah. I mean, the reveal as Khan, when John Harrison, as he's called originally, he informs like Kirk and Spock, "I'm Khan."
Yeah.
It means something to Star Trek fans, but to Kirk and Spock themselves and people who have never seen The Wrath of Khan, it means absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
So they did play it up quite a bit when there's maybe no need to even have that character.
Yeah, because he sort of says it in real life. Khan, like that.
Well, just,
it's like dun 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 dun. And as you say, like a fair chunk of the audience would know exactly who Khan is, but many, many people would just be like that.
Well, I think The Wrath of Khan, it's very sort of Moby Dick kind of story where it's Khan's obsession with Kirk that ultimately leads to his downfall.
Yeah.
And that's part of the enjoyment of watching the film, because at various moments in the film he's won. And then Kirk will just say, Khan. Despite his superior intelligence and mental abilities, he can't resist going after him. And
that's Kirk for you. You can't.
he's the whale and he can't.
Resist him. So the new film relied on the power of that history.
Yeah.
Yet, to the vast majority of the audience, that history is completely unknown. And there are certain homages to the original film, which actually drew me out of the film when I was watching it. Yeah, drew me out of Into Darkness. The bit in particular is where Spock yells out Khan as a reversal of it's not even Kirk. I always think of it as William Shatner shouting Khan.
Yeah, maybe that going the Khan route isn't something I particularly wanted them to go.
Yeah.
I mean, they've set up this new universe. No, I'd want to see new stories, new travels, new aliens, new adventures. If they were going to go down this route, it was as good as they could do. I mean, I know the scene where Kirk sacrifices himself to save the ship, the reversal of the Wrath of Khan. Yeah, I know what you're saying, how it's too on the nose.
It is. And, I almost kind of chuckled when Spock screams Khan, rather than what you should be thinking is, oh my God. Yeah.
But just the scene before that where I thought it was brilliantly directed and acted, and the music was perfect for the scene as it was, even though I didn't want it to happen.
Yeah, and I suppose
they did it was quite emotional and touching. And
yeah, definitely. But I think that's the curious thing, or the bizarre thing. Half the film, you're sitting there, it only has a power because you know about Star Trek, the original Star Trek 2, about Wrath of Khan. The other half of the film suffers from the fact that you know about Wrath of Khan.
Yeah, it depends on what you're coming in with, really. Yeah. What your knowledge is.
So half the time I'm thinking, oh yeah, that's a nice touch, oh yeah, okay, oh Khan. And then the other times you're like, yeah, well I'm just thinking of Wrath of Khan now. That's the other thing, you've got Kirk dying, and for a second I genuinely thought, like, wow, they're going to have Kirk dead? And like, they're going to, similar to the end of Wrath of Khan, where Spock's actually dead, and I was like, how are they bringing back in the second one? In that moment, my mind was racing through geeky theories. I was like, maybe, I don't know, like, you'll see his body jet into that, and then it'll hit a Borg cube, and Borg can bring him back to life using all their technology or something, and then you'll have a third film with the Borg in it, or something like that.
They bring him back as William Shatner.
But instead, it was very much
the third film. They have young Kirk and Spock having to work with old Kirk and Spock.
That's absolutely brilliant.
Defeat the Klingon Empire.
And great if they pair them up opposite. Yeah, they kind of have to swap. So it's the two Spocks and the two Kirks together. That would be brilliant. Why don't they do that? But I kind of was like, oh, all these thoughts, and then it's almost straight away that suddenly this again, he's dead, and then suddenly that tribble, nice touch, but the tribble starts to be alive again. You're like, oh right, they're just gonna do that. Bring it straight back.
I saw that coming, sort of.
Yeah, why in that bit where they go, oh, we can't kill Khan now because we need Khan's blood. Why can't they just use one of the other bodies?
Again, that's one of the Star Trek throughout its history has had many plot holes.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I know that
people come up with reasonings that.
Yeah, I'm sure that. That all the others were frozen or something.
Because it wouldn't have been exciting, Ian.
Exactly. Yeah, I know, and I appreciate that. I understand that. But plot of this film pushed me out of the film, and I spent a lot of the time just not being into the film, just observing it, not properly watching it, not feeling caught up in the story of it.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. But I spent the 2 hours just thoroughly engaged with the film.
Oh, well, I think maybe because I did had such high expectations, perhaps I was sort of set myself up for a fall a little bit. But so where do you think they should go for the next one then?
Well, they've set themselves up at the start of the 5-year mission.
Yeah,
so deep space.
Yeah.
Ideally, I'd like, as I was saying, like them to go into new adventures, new planets, new races, not beholden to the original series or follow the original movies like they did in this film. But again, they've set up the Klingon Empire, who are pretty annoyed. Yeah, they were very beholden to Khan as a character in this one, and it's
the power of the character almost twisted the film a little bit.
I heard Damon Lindelof call him sort of Star Trek's Joker, which I didn't agree with at all.
Okay.
Because the Joker is an ever-present, all-empowering character that draws your attention. Khan was in one episode and one movie.
Yeah.
And the power of him in that movie was just his obsession with Kirk. It wasn't as a character. It was their history. And
that's true. And, of course, he doesn't have that obsession in this film. They don't even know each other, do they? Exactly. They don't have that history at all.
So they could have just been anyone.
Yeah. And you don't have the things that go in the ears, like in Star Trek.
They had that in the first Star Trek film.
Did they?
Eric Banner's Romulan character puts these things in them.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you're right.
They should have saved it.
And it was nice to see futuristic London in the film.
Get destroyed.
Yeah, get destroyed.
So lots of gherkins, it looked like.
Yeah, it did.
That one works. Let's just build
loads of phallic things in London. Everyone loves that. Well, yeah, I think something like that. And of course, what really they could jump on and use in it again, because there are no rules in this new set universe, is use the Borg at some point. Have that kind of meeting between Kirk and the Borg.
I'll save that for the Next Generation reboot.
Oh.
With Patrick Stewart as Captain Picard.
Yeah,
everyone else can be young.
Well, that's it, Paul.
Thank you for having me.
That's okay. Are you going to keep on listening to our Hannah Wong film podcasts
every week, as long as I get a mention?
Of course you will. Of course you will. Right. Well, that's it from us. See you later. Bye.
Bye. I thought the Kirk and Spock.
Who's that?
Lewis has heard I'm recording a podcast. He's at the door.
He's kicking the door in. Who's this pretender in my seat?